CliffCentral.com.
Okay, all right. I'm glad we can play songs now and you can actually hear what I'm playing if you're watching us live. And if you're listening, you never had that problem, but there we go. This is Yellow Wolf and Lightning in a Bottle. Very nice. Gord's choice for the morning. Very, very good. Okay.
Yellow Wolf is very, very, very dope for those of you who do not know.
Can I upset you a little bit and ask you if you've got any plans yet for December or whether you're planning to go anywhere?
There's a possibility of going to go see my mom in Swellendam with my brothers and their kids for a bit of a Christmas thing, but it's not really confirmed. It depends how work goes. I don't want to be spending too much money. I've got plans for next year.
Yeah,
and, you know, life to pay for.
I haven't thought about it at all. And then somebody sent me a message yesterday and said, what are you doing for December? And I was like, God, I don't know. And I don't know that I want to go anywhere because, first of all, who can afford to travel anywhere really exciting? Second of all, you put up with all the COVID stuff, which is so annoying. But there must be stuff we could do that would, like, let's take advantage of the fact that things have changed and do something different for the holidays this year and not do what we would usually do.
Yeah, stay home and live stream webcams.
Why the hell not? Find a way. I mean, that sounds horrible, but there could be things that are slightly better than that we could do.
Yeah.
Just got to be serious about one quick thing here because this is just something that really pisses me off, and we are seeing the birth of a new big man in Africa. We're seeing Idi Amin Part 2 starting to rise in the form of Julius Malema. Listen to what he said yesterday. And, you know, they've climbed in hook, line, and sinker to this whole Senegal situation because it's a race situation, and Julius loves nothing more than to be able to get into a race war. He says here, rape was brought to Africa by a white man. Abuse was brought by a white man. Murder was brought by a white man. Killing of children was brought by a white man here in South Africa. When he got out of his car yesterday, the EFF members that were there waiting for him got on their knees like he was some kind of messiah as he got out of the car. They are building a cult here, and I'm very, very concerned about this. I mean, I've always said, you know, that Julius Malema is a very clever man. I still believe he's a very clever man. But I believe he's becoming more and more dangerous to democracy. I think he's becoming a real instigator of division and hatred. He is no longer...
He's not instigating any kind of maths at all. Multiplication, addition, subtraction, or division. Sorry.
It's pure hatred.
Went for the mute button. I just didn't get it in time. I was half a beat off. My bad.
So shit. So if you want to go and have a look, there's a tweet from the EFF that just has him talking, and it makes me so uncomfortable. This is not constructive stuff at all. This is pure power politics at its most cynical. We talk about Nancy Pelosi, but my God, this guy is just, he's morphing into a monster. And I don't like what I see. It should be reason for all of us to feel concerned. So I don't want to talk about it all morning because I know that this is the kind of thing that some people, when you start down this path, it just becomes a whole diatribe. And I'm not actually that interested in local politics, and I don't want it to dominate our morning. We're having a great day. It's Wednesday. It's sunny outside.
We are indeed having a great morning.
Yeah,
Lays one up. Arise and herbalize.
Gord is lighting up that blunt. So go ahead, Gordo. You get us out of this.
Can I tell you where my ray of sunshine is coming from these days?
Yes.
Within politics. I want to know who got the tender to compile a playlist for President Trump's rallies.
Oh. What songs are they playing there?
They are just perfect. Yesterday.
What songs are they playing?
So there was some sort of rally or something. It was official, yesterday or the day before.
Imagine being official playlister to the president.
Of course, there has to be someone who compiles
it's somebody's job.
Sure. Yes. Oh. So, And it was a very serious CNN segment, and Anderson Cooper was crossing live to this rally. And you were struggling to hear the correspondents on site because there was the village people just blasting. Yes. Like, okay. I want to be a macho man. Macho man.
So I thought, you know, that, I want to be a macho man.
You know,
this is the least macho thing. This is the least macho song in the world. Macho, am I doing it wrong? I'm trying to be a macho man.
Yes. So, you know, it's like the unofficial gay anthem. And Anderson Cooper at first was very serious and then paying attention to this correspondence. And then you could tell that his attention was just like focused more on the song, and then he couldn't hold it together. Somehow they also went to YMCA after that. I'm like,
they're training men.
I definitely saw them playing YMCA at a previous rally, and then Donald Trump was dancing. It was hilarious. But this Macho Man is such a terrible song. Oh, Jesus, it's bad.
Yes.
Wow.
He's just proving that he's taking the piss. I never even wanted to be president. He's just trolling everyone.
So... What a song.
How can you take anyone seriously when this is playing in the background?
Donald Trump, obviously, you know, he is the first president in history to be pro-gay marriage before he was elected, right?
You know what I would come out to if I was Donald Trump? What my walk-in music would be?
No.
The lights would go off. You just hear the first three strikes, and then you... Ah, so beautiful to me. And I'd come out to that and I'd not say to
you, Macho Man.
Macho Man. I'm a macho man right here.
Shit.
Yes, I'm gonna be a macho man.
I forgot how bad that song is. Yes, that's a bad song.
Look, because Gareth, we watched this clip together, and we were impressed when, President Trump, I think, had just gotten off stage, and that was the first time he had heard that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere, there was Tiny Dancer playing in the background. It was actually beautiful.
It looked like it was stage managed. So here's what happened is that Trump was about to board Air Force One, and you could hear the rally going on in the background still. And someone came up to him and said, you know, Mr. President, have you heard that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died? And he was very solemn. He went, oh, did that just happen?
And right on cue, there was...
Yeah, so it starts playing in the back, and he gives this very lovely... She was a great woman. She lived an incredible life, and she really, I'm very sad to hear that. He goes, I'm really sad. And you can see it's the first time he's heard the news. And then he walks away, and as he's walking, it goes, hold me closer, Tiny Dancer. And you think, wow, that couldn't have been better choreographed.
I'm pretty sure that the Irk has been trolling the whole time. Same way I know you are with your Trump support. Like, I even get shit from people because I'm associated with you and you support Trump. I'm like, how many steps of non-logic is this, right? You're upset with me because my friend, who I have a two-hour conversation with once a week, takes the piss by liking Trump. Because the Democrats are so shit. You're a South African. You don't know the name of your local mayor. This is important.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know that like you, Trump is trolling. And the whole thing, he's just taking the piss. He's like, I never expected to be president. I just want to piss Obama off.
Yeah.
And the more I dig in, now we start playing the gay disco. I think he should come out as well. He should come out with a different song, a walk-in song, like a UFC fighter, but different depending on the point that he's going to make. So like when he wants to be cool, like get up, get on up, get on the scene. But when he wants to fuck someone up, it come out to Master of Puppets. Master, master. And he'd do this with his hands. And make the music stop,
you know,
and then be like, right, we're fucking someone up today.
But I do love. Gordy, I
he's
love
not
this.
A wrestler.
No, but he is. He actually is.
He should treat it the same way. He should run and high five the people in the crowd as he runs through them. He should do the whole thing. Hold up his belt, presidency belt.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know, here's the thing that I love about this is he's taken all the seriousness away from politicians. They are not serious people, and they've never been. They're really just a bunch of parasitic assholes. They really are. Politicians have never been the kind of people we should look up to or aspire to. And what Donald Trump has done is he's basically dismantled. And whether he did it consciously or whether he has happened upon it, who knows? But he's dismantled the seriousness of politics, and I think that's a good thing for the world. And let's not pretend, by the way, that all of the stupidity only came in when Trump came in. We were already feeling this a long time ago. Who took Bill Clinton that seriously after it emerged that he had been given a blowjob in the Oval Office by Monica Lewinsky?
He played the sax, though. He was cool.
Yes, but my point is politicians should never be treated as role models or taken seriously.
And what people think of them if they're not actively involved, if it's just their opinion, like which bands do you like? Which, I mean, like Umbi and I are never going to agree on football. But that's okay. We don't have to like ostracize each other from our lives completely, because otherwise my other Man United friends might not like me for being friends with a Chelsea fan.
I reckon.
I hate Trump. I think it's funny listening to you talk about what a legend he is.
No. But you've hit exactly on the sweet spot here, because 90% of the reason that I talk about him and that I tell people he's cool is just to troll the people.
Piss people off, I know.
No, it's
and I always say to people who haven't read the book but say that it's bad, I'm like, you don't have to enjoy Gareth Shaw. I don't really give a shit. But, like, please listen to one, because last time you heard him was on 702 in the 90s. Please just listen to an episode before your friends told you he's evil because he likes Trump.
It's actually quite a laugh. It's not to piss people off. It's because the people who really hate Trump, who take it super seriously and they just hate Trump, those people are the ones I enjoy seeing pissed off. So whether it's me or it's him, I enjoy watching them lose their mind. I mean, you see people become completely irrational. They behave like emotional tantruming teenagers because they don't like Donald Trump. I'm like, well, in that case, because you're such a douchebag, I'm going to say I love him just to piss you off some more. And I see that.
I even remember when I first started doing this show 3 long years ago, I would try and like, Gareth, how can you say that? Seriously, Trump's policies are this way. Then I'm like, this folks taking the piss. Mm-hmm. And then never again have I taken a political conversation seriously.
Correct. And how much better is your life now that you're not taking
so
it seriously?
So much better, dude. And my information diet, like I told you on the show yesterday, which folks can watch tonight. At what times here?
8:30 p.m. on ENCA channel 403.
And if they miss that and want to stream it, where can they catch that, Sia?
You can catch it tomorrow afternoon online, hashtag so what now.
We'll be sharing those links. Anyway, I was trying to talk about how, you know, people don't take into effect. That was super smooth and then you laughed. People don't take into account, like, every little bit of food that you put into yourself, and I'm not preaching, I'm just saying it's a thing we don't think about, like that you're eating a snack for fun, but it's got all those chemicals in it. And like, I hate the conspiracy theorist woo-woo dickheads who are like, if you can't say the name, you can't eat the food because it's got ingredients on the back. Like, everything's chemicals. But if you are eating something that isn't food for entertainment purposes, it's going to have some effect on you physiologically because it went in your body, right? Same with information. Like, if you don't block out crap news sources and people who bitch online and bullshit pages that share sensationalist shit, and you don't block that out, it's going to just affect you all the time, even if you don't agree with it. So I try not to even know what's going on. But I enjoy it on the show because we're going to have a bit of fun, find out how fucked things are, and give Gareth shit.
Constructive. Macho man as well.
Yeah, it's constructive.
Look, also, speaking of not taking politicians seriously now, and the Clintons, it's actually because of them. Good God, this looks like a Saturday Night Live skit. Hillary Clinton was on the James Corden show, and then she called former President Bill into the shot because they're talking about life at home right now and the fact that they're growing a garden. He looks
horrible.
He looks like death warmed up now.
Yeah,
it is horrible.
We should call him Information Bill, or rather, like, give him some sort of title where he doesn't have to do so much.
So I'm just okay. So,
so that's Hillary.
Hillary.
Okay.
Look at him there.
Oh, she looks like his dad. He looks like her dad.
But Bill needs, first of all, he needs a haircut because he's got like that. He's got the long strands of wispy white hair that...
I've got a feeling that bill is going to get passed sooner than later.
But look, Hillary is... Hillary is such a horrible person. She really is the most horrible person. And Bill is, he's become caricature. I mean, that used to be the president of the United States. Now he's like making cameo appearances in Hillary videos.
Maybe he just doesn't
about what they're growing in their garden.
Maybe he's just being old and like once a month he has to go and get harassed and humiliated and answer a few questions for Hillary's good and then he goes back to sitting in the garden, not brushing his hair.
It's me, Bill.
Mr. President, former President Bill Clinton, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
It's good to see you, Gordy.
Apparently you've been having a little bit of a hard time in
I'm always hard, Gordy. I've not been stopped since the 90s. I'm hard 24/7.
It looks as if Hillary's not giving you much of a break there. Are you busy? She got you working hard.
What kind of a sick bastard do you think I am? Hillary, we haven't even slept in the same bed in 14 years.
What's going on with your hair over there, Bill? What's happened?
I haven't had a haircut for a long time. Turns out the hairdressers don't want to be alone with me in the salon. And with COVID, we can't have other people in the salon to make sure nothing funny happens. So I just haven't had a haircut.
Before we let you go, Bill, you sound like you're in good spirits. How many years do you think you've got left on you?
I got a long, hard time ahead of me. It all just depends. It just depends on Hillary. If she goes soon, I will wait a long time after that. If she hangs around, I ain't going to hang around much. I want to get the hell out of here.
Good choice, Mr. President. Thanks again for joining us. We love having you as a listener. Ladies and gentlemen, former President of the United States, Bill Clinton, live on the show.
Poor Bill.
Wow.
Poor Bill.
You see, this is why I prefer the Bushes and there are – what's their estate? Chippewa.
I also prefer the Bushes. But
well – yeah, so the Clintons live in
with your jaws, yeah.
No.
The Clintons live in Chappaqua in New York.
I vote Bush every time.
Oh, I confused the Clintons' place and the Bush's place. But the Bush have like
The Bushes have a family compound at Kennebunkport.
I don't confuse the Bushes.
Kennebunkport in Maine. It's on a
and they just never leave.
It's a little compound, basically. Like the Kennedys had at Hyannisport. This is what presidents do. And you know that the Obamas live in Martha's Vineyard now, which is also in that part of the world.
So they live permanently with the other Bushes.
Well,
but you cannot tell me that George Bush is not getting blackout drunk, and then he's like threatening his staff with one of his shotguns
and shooting firearms and going woo.
I don't think so. Hey, you know what he's doing?
What?
You're going to be so bored by this answer. George W. Bush, because I follow him on social media, he's painting.
My God, that must be a thriller, but
what does he have? Twitter? Facebook?
On Instagram. He's painting. So he paints portraits of people, and he works in oils and in acrylics and in watercolor, and he's actually got a studio, and he paints all day, and he occasionally says the absolute minimum. He won't comment on Donald Trump, he won't comment on Obama. He's a teetotaler. He is, as Mbulelo points out, a recovering alcoholic because he used to own sports teams. And before he was president, he was a wild, 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 wild child. I mean, he did whatever he wanted. And he did a bit of cocaine.
Yeah, he snorted cocaine but didn't inhale or something like that.
I think you're confusing him with Bill Clinton, who said,
no, but I mean, Bush did all the things.
He did all the things.
And what Laura, did Clinton say?
I smoked weed, but I did not inhale.
It got found out that Clinton got blazed at a college party, and so he half admitted it and half told the truth. Years later, George Bush like, well, we know that you're a crackhead, Mr. President, but well done on your recovery.
Crackhead.
Oh, please.
It's a little
extreme. No, but he liked to jawl. He liked to rail, and he liked a bit of a party, and he did shout woo when he shot his machine guns. I almost guarantee it.
But ironically, he's turned out to be much more dignified in his retirement than Bill Clinton is, you know.
My point is, I think there's such dignity and just a good decision in sneaking out and you're away from the public eye. The fact that now former President Clinton has to be red-faced and showing off what they're growing in their garden.
I think we need to segue this into something far more important related to Bill Clinton. From the lyrics of the Animaniacs intro song, while Bill Clinton plays the sax, Animaniacs is coming back on Hulu. Maybe it'll get syndicated to one of the streaming networks here. Otherwise, we'll just have to hit them torrents. But that's coming out in very soon. All new episodes in widescreen format of Animaniacs, including Pinky and the Brain. And I, for one, could not be more excited. Hmm. Yeah, the Warner Brothers and the Warner Sister Dot have been locked in the tower all this time since the 90s, and they have been released.
I like the Animaniacs. How did that theme song go, Gord?
It's time for Animaniacs. Doodly-doo. And we're zany to the max. Doodly-doo. We have play for pay contracts and your love to the max. Something Animaniacs. No. Well, Ben Clinton plays the sax.
What are we going to do tonight, right?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Oh, Brian!
You're so good at this.
It is the best.
Oh,
is it true that Steven Spielberg
he
has something to do with it?
He still is the guy. Yes, he still has and does, will and does, of course.
What does he do?
Executive producer, I think. Just make sure it's not shit.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope they bring back Good Feathers.
Sorry, are they making new episodes or they're
all
just
new.
Streaming?
No, they're bringing it back. The old episodes are on various streaming platforms already, but they're making new Animaniacs.
See, that generation just missed me.
Animaniacs is one of those where it stays funny. It's kind of like a kid show with grown-up humor, and I've watched some reruns of it smoking a bit of the boom, and it's aged well.
You know, I finished watching The Boys, Gord.
So good. Did you not love it? You look like Homelander, only you're not so evil.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Homelander is
I thought you were about to disappoint me like you did when I begged you to watch The Expanse, my favorite ever show, and you were like, it was pig shit.
Homelander is the biggest douchebag ever.
Oh, he's terrible, eh?
You watch the show. It's basically about these superheroes who are like humans.
Celebrities.
No, but they're also like humans. They just have shitty characteristics, and they're greedy for money, and they'll do bad things. So, you know. It's in other words, if people actually did develop superpowers, this is probably closer to what we would be.
Yeah, they'd live outside the law and be tyrannical.
Yeah, we wouldn't be good people who saved everybody. You know, you'd probably sometimes do some pretty awful things with your superpowers. And I love this show. It's really good. Is it finished? I'm not sure if...
Season 2 ended in episode 8, which is just aired this weekend on Amazon.
Then I've finished, yeah.
And they're about to start shooting the next season, which is going to probably, I would guess, take about a year. They're sort of fast-tracking it because everything got delayed because of COVID. They delayed the release of season 2 and the start of filming season 3. But it's on Amazon, and anyone who doesn't yet have Amazon and does have some spare money for entertainment, it is the best 90-odd bucks you'll spend since Netflix. Netflix is blue. Netflix is red. Amazon's blue. Half of everything is on one side or the other. So the Boys is really, really good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's also violent as hell.
Listen to this. This is funny. Ryan says, I stopped taking Gareth seriously 13 years ago when he said that the guy who sang Don't Worry, Be Happy hanged himself.
Yeah.
I think that's actually true, though. We should verify that. Is that an urban legend? Because I've heard that also.
It's not true, but it's one of those things that you could fuck with stupid people. You say,
but not this guy.
Bobby McFerrin is his name, and he's. I don't think he's dead. I think he's still alive now. And he certainly didn't hang himself, but it is hilarious because people get very, very upset.
I think he did die.
But he didn't hang himself.
In terms of people who had a good sense of humor and good at giving people shit and tomfoolery in general, I'm about halfway through this really extensive and detailed biography of Dr. Seuss, Theodore Geisel. And he was like an amazing guy. Like he addressed a lot of social issues and political issues. He was born in the 19-teens. And, he started off as a varsity cartoonist. And so some of his he basically initially would copy the cartoon and political comic style of the day.
Yeah.
So he drew some like insensitively portrayed minorities early on in his career. And a lot of people have kind of held it against him. And I haven't read the story, but I know he drew an insensitive picture when he was 21.
Oh, well, who didn't?
And he actually addressed all of that. He worked on the troop morale raising media team. He joined the army to try to do his bit. And he was responsible for a lot of like, Don't Be an Idiot, Captain Snafu, this cartoon character. Anyway, he went a long way towards trying to fix that sort of thing and became very politically conscious later on. But he would fuck with people. Like, he didn't believe in high art, so he would go and he would pretend to have bought work from a famous artist and then sell it to art experts. and then refund them, send them their money back. And go, I did that. He would go, like, he would hear from them what made art amazing, disappear off and make a quick painting of mess with, in like an hour, come back and say, this is an Esteban. I just got it and I bought it for $500 and you can buy it for $500 and then refund them afterwards just to embarrass them. That's, thanks for going off on this tangent, Gord. Appreciate your time.
Yeah. I love that. So Dr. Seuss, I mean, he was a genius, but that I didn't know anything about his actual life. I love people who fuck with the art community because they take themselves so seriously.
Yeah, he started off at quite an acerbic political commentator, right? Drawing political comics for the newspapers and magazines, and he would take people on hard. And then he just kind of took himself less seriously and realized kids needed good books more than adults needed to be political.
Speaking of which, a lot of people are asking, when are we going to see your books? Any
updates? the books are coming on. The project has taken on a much bigger scope. Instead of just trying to finish a book and release it so people can buy my one book, I've started a publishing company. I've got 6 books written. 5 of them are in development artwork-wise, and that just takes time, especially if you don't have a great deal of money to throw at artists so that you can crap on them for being too late. But we want to release with 5 and a box set, and Turtle Bird Books is very much a thing. It's just, I'm not trying to fast track one book. I'm trying to build one company properly. But it is going a bit slower than I'd like, but we'll be up and running probably early next year.
Very, very nice.
By the way, sorry, correction. Bobby McFerrin is still alive. Don't worry, be a happy guy.
Correct.
So we can actually not worry and remain happy.
Sia is our official fact checker on the show. So well done, Sia.
Oh, that's a big title.
Fact checker.
Gareth.
Yes.
May I just point out something that has been of interest to me here? With this new system that we're using, someone can click on, a listener or viewer can click on speak.
Yeah.
And their hand pops up on our side. I wonder, can we like hear someone? Can we? Well, does their video pop up?
Let's try it right now. If you want to speak, if you're watching us, one of the people who's watching us instead of listening to us, hit on that speak thing. Put your hand up, and let me see if I can get you on, and we can put you online. That would be fun.
Yeah.
See if we can do it.
I just saw someone's name. Okay, someone did.
Let's see if we got someone here. Monwabisi.
Right. I hope you're dressed just in case your camera goes on.
Let me just see. Where's Monwabisi here? Let me see if I can bring him into the conversation. Okay. Here's Beth. Well, let's see, Beth. No, you see, when I click on it, it doesn't let me let them into the conversation. Let's just try it again. Monwabisi, let's see here if we can make him speak. Invite as a presenter. Oh, wait, hang on. I can do this.
Ooh.
All right. Monwabisi, let me see if I can get you here.
Please make sure you're dressed.
Just
in case.
Yeah. What, do you think he's going to come on naked? That's your biggest worry.
This is going to allow us to, like, materialize the listeners. Imagine if we could just, like, summon one into the studio back in the day.
Right.
Beam them like Scotty.
So, Monwabisi, I'm trying to do this where we – there we go. He's joined
the room. Monwabisi has joined the room.
This is fun.
It's exciting.
Hey, Monwabisi, can you hear us? Hello.
Hello.
Oh, look. We've contacted.
Hi, guys.
And here's Beth as well. Look, I've now added Monwabisi and Beth to the conversation. Hey, Beth, are you there? And Lynn.
Oh, okay, people are just joining. You've opened the floodgates, Gareth. Close the door. Press the stop button.
All right. This is fantastic. You see, this is like taking live calls, except we're going to take live video.
Well, let's have them introduce themselves one at a time. Monwabisi, tune us your story.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm Monwabisi from Bloemfontein and been a fan of the show for a very, very long time.
Apparently, you're a big fan of Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I like Bill. And do the Caitlyn Jenner again. Bring back Caitlyn Jenner with all the voice changing and everything.
All right.
Please.
Monwabisi, you legend. Thank you for listening.
Right, yeah, dude. You too, guys.
Good.
Love the show.
Nice to meet you, dude. Okay.
Hey, who's next?
There's Monwabisi. All right, Lynn, go ahead. Say hello. Lynn has children in the background.
Yes.
Lynn? No, that would be
Beth. Oh, it's you, Beth. Okay. So, Beth, what's going on with you? Are you at home?
I'm at home. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I homeschool my 3 kids, so yeah, I'm at home, and they're outside harassing the dog.
Well,
which is why you can hear teaching.
You're a stay-at-home mom educating your three kids. Is that why you sound so tired?
Yeah, you've got that I lost my patience ages ago sound in your voice. That's why the kids are out fucking with the dog.
So good.
Already.
All right, this is fun.
Well, I'm tired because I'm awake early for a change and listening to Cliff Central for a change, getting back into a decent routine after lockdown messed us all up. So.
Did you get a bit curvy?
No, that didn't happen. I'm one of those people who get curvy.
Nice. Good for you.
Bless you, young lady.
Okay, I'm having fun with this. Okay, Beth, thanks for the call. We'll chat to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Is Lynn still
there? We still got Lynn, but we're not sure she can hear us.
Oh, I don't know if Lynn's participating or if she's just
assuming one of assuming Lynn's gender. Might be Linton or Lindell.
I think
Lindell's a girl.
I think Lynn is just a lurker, frankly.
Yeah, well, Lynn was the proof of the 2 out of 3 rule. So it works most of the time.
All right,
it's like Sex Panther, 60% of the time. We can connect you every time.
Sex Panther.
Yeah, well, one of the funniest jokes from the funniest movie of all time. I mean, I know it's old enough now that it's pretty played out if you're middle-aged to be like quoting I Love Lamp every time you're at a party. Right. But if you do watch that movie, it actually gets funnier. Talladega Nights and Anchorman are the two. I've told the story before of how I had to leave the press preview and couldn't watch Talladega Nights because I was annoying Barry Ronger, who's my friend, because I was hysterical. And I kept leaving to recover, coming back, losing it again. I actually had to go watch the movie again just to know what happened. It was so funny.
Man.
But yeah, Sex Panther, the aftershave, 60% of the time. It works every time. Yeah, smells like what? Smells like Bigfoot's dick. Smells like a turd covered in hair sets on fire. Really stings the nostrils. Paul Rudd,
oh my
Sex
God.
Panther, 60% of the time. It works every time.
You just made me think of something. Like Borat 2 is coming out, and I'm actually kind of excited about it in a childish sort of way. Because I watched the trailer.
People are just joining now whenever they want. You can't have that.
No, I've added.
I mean, I'm happy to see Sean. Oh, is Sean not a person who's trying to test the technology? Sorry,
no,
Sean, welcome.
No. They can't come on.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Sean, what's up, dude?
Oh, not much. Sitting in my freshly broken into Bucky.
Show us. Show us. Put your camera on. Let us see the damage.
Let me just see if I can get this going.
Switch on your camera. So top left somewhere.
Yeah.
This is good. We've got Tim as well.
Sorry about that.
Oh, look at this. We're inside. Look, this is so great. We're now inside Sean's car. Oh, Jesus, dude.
Oh,
what
Jesus.
A mess. Oh, man.
Yeah, you see that?
Yeah.
Lovely, eh?
Yeah, that's magnificent. Yeah. Good for you.
Brilliant.
All right, Brilliant. Are you off to work this morning?
Yeah, I'm off to work, but can't do much. Can't go see customers because I can't stop anywhere with a broken window.
No, dude, this is so annoying. Where do you live again?
Ompet, Port Elizabeth.
I knew it, Port Elizabeth. Well, if you want to live in PE, that kind of thing's going to happen.
It's hard to be proud of your PE-ness when this kind of thing is going on in your town.
Your PE-ness.
Thanks, Gord.
All right.
I'm sorry to hear that, bro.
So, Sean, this is quite cool. This now we can see you. I can put you on like you're a caller. This is the best thing ever.
Yeah. So, Sean, are you on your phone right now?
Yes, I'm on the phone.
Ah, so you were going to watch us and drive?
No, I'm actually stopped in front of my office waiting for it to open up so I can go in. So I'm on the phone quickly.
Oh, dude, such a bummer about your car, man.
This may be the coolest thing since we went online, is that I can now just take live callers, but they can be live video callers. It's amazing. This is like a TV show. I love it. All right, Sean, thanks, dude. We're going to go because we've got
a couple of things to do. Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
Good luck,
homie. Cheers, dude. All right, so listen, this is going to be my new favorite thing. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this is the We're Going to Test the New Technology episode for the listeners at home. This is Gareth figuring out how this new platform works.
Well, what's so great about it is that I didn't even know we could do this until now. Now we can actually put you on if you've got, you know, we've had the messages and you can send us the messages on the chat, but now you can actually put your hand up and say, hey, I want to come on the show. So here's the way it's going to work. Mm. If we do this again, which we will, you need to put your hand up. It's that speak button at the bottom there. And then you have to wait though, because sometimes it takes a little while. So,
but you can't vet the people to make sure that they're not like horrific or nope. doing something mean.
But that's okay because I never used to vet callers on radio either. So I don't mind. I love it. Clint from the Vaal says, guys, it is impossible to be productive at work with this visual sorcery.
You don't have to look, Clint. You can listen.
Yeah.
Lee says, also, with all due respect, Clint, your lady is a complete babe, so you shouldn't be looking at us. We're not exciting at all.
How do you know his babe?
Clint and I have become friends on Instagram. Jesus, he's a good guy.
You like make friends with all the people who listen to the show. Lee says, I love how far Cliff Central's can listen live from bed. Yes, indeed. Hugo says, with this becoming a cool thing, seeing listeners, you need to be able to record this and then upload to YouTube so we can actually watch all the interviews.
Yeah, I agree with that. A lot of people wanted to watch it last time after we posted, and I was like, sorry for you guys.
Letu Kolo says, the show keeps getting better and better. Well, that's what we're trying to do.
Listeners keep getting better and better, I say.
Yes, exactly. I just got in, and Gord lights up a blunt straight away. Gold.
Mm-hmm.
That's according to Sipo Siso.
Yeah, Sipo Siso, take it. Here we go. Got it?
Pass it around, Gord. Okay, guys, we got to get to one or two important things. So here's something that we've been doing for a few weeks now. It's with SICA, the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. And this is really the sixth episode. I think it'll be interesting to you because we speak here to Mandy Oelefied, who is the Senior Executive for Professional Development. So if you were thinking of becoming an accountant or an auditor, these are the guys to talk to at SICA. They're committed to instilling ethics in aspiring accountants to ensure the future of the profession, because you can't have an unethical accountant. Otherwise, you can get into trouble. Your business will fail. It's going to be a mess. So we talked to Mandy, and then later on, you'll get to hear from Jaco Voigt, who we had on the other day, the CEO of Catalytic, as we start the first in a series called Unbundled with Catalytic. So season one, episode one. All of that on the way for you. This is cliffcentral.com. Good Wednesday morning. It is 20 to 8. Be Accountable is a progressive pathway to accounting excellence. And if you've been paying attention over the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been talking about the accounting profession, and maintaining ethics in a profession like accounting is essential. And that is why it is one of the key aspects that SICA is committed to. Now, to discuss exactly how SICA does this is Mandy Oelefied. She is a CASA and a SICA's Senior Executive for Professional Development in our next edition of Be Accountable. So, Mandy, first of all, how have you been during lockdown? Have you managed to make it through with your intelligence and intellect and sense of humor intact?
I'm still alive, Gareth. Thank you.
So first things first, why is there a need to reinvent the chartered accountants of the future? I mean, I'm really interested in the basic outline of what you call CA 2025 and the importance of that. So tell me about that and about ethics and what the accounting profession will look like in the future, according to you and SICA.
Thanks, Gareth. I think, you know, to start off with the project we're working on, the CA 2025 project, is something we've been working on for a number of years. And, you know, what makes changes, and the accounting profession is known for continuing to evolve, let's put it that way. But there comes time in the kind of life cycle when we relook everything. And that's what the CA 2025 project is all about, relooking everything around how chartered accountants qualify. And the priority there is therefore which competencies they need to have. And a competency would encompass knowledge, skills, values, and attitudes. And I guess that's where the ethics comes in. But in looking at, you know, accountants of the future, we need to make sure we remain relevant. And if we want to remain relevant, we need to make sure we deliver people to the market with the right competencies. And those people need to be able to deal with. And I think there's sort of four key drivers of the change. The first is the world we live in. We live in a volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world. Right. We need to deliver people who can work under those circumstances. You know, it's not just straightforward, straight line anymore. There's complexity and, you know, factors integrate with each other. So you have to be able to work in that kind of environment. The second is volume. So accountants are very well known for their technical skills, and that is driven to a large extent by accounting standards, auditing standards, tax legislation, and the volume has just increased. One starts to realize over time that you cannot know everything. It's impossible.
Sure.
And so what we need to do, and I guess where we have perhaps gone wrong over the last, you know, sort of 10 years, is we kept adding volume without thinking of the context in which that technical knowledge needed to be applied. I'm getting to the ethics, don't worry. what that ends up doing, if there's so much volume and so much focus on the technical, it takes away your focus from development of skill and development of professional values and attitudes. So that would be the second thing. The third thing is obviously the fourth industrial revolution and technology and the impact that technology has on the way we work in business.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, as is pertinent to today's discussion in particular, is the concept of, and I'll use the term ethics, but in actual fact, in our new framework, we refer to ethics and citizenship. Mm. And so those drivers led us to redefining what the competencies of a chartered accountant should be. And in doing that, we came up with three types of competencies. The first is the professional values and attitudes. And here we talk about personal ethics, business ethics, and professional ethics. This is a big shift for us because in the past, our focus in developing CAs was largely on what we would call professional ethics. Now, professional ethics resides in, as you know, accountants have a code of professional conduct. That would be the professional ethics. But in order to understand how that is applied, one needs to understand things like personal values, how personal values are formed and shaped, how your decision-making process around when you're dealing with ethical dilemmas, you know, needs to happen. And that was kind of, if you want, missing. So accountants would be very good, for example, at telling you what's in the code of conduct from a knowledge perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But fail to do sufficiently is to make sure we're shaping their attitude towards ethics and ethical dilemmas, as well as their professional behavior. And subject takes us to that place where in going forward, we are trying to develop responsible leaders who behave ethically. And by doing that, they are looking at creating sustainable value in organizations for a much broader range of stakeholders. And the way I explain it to the academics is when I qualified, the focus was on maximizing shareholder value. Whereas the shift we're making in our project is to creating sustainable value for a broad range of stakeholders. And that's where the citizenship and the ethics really plays, you know, quite a significant role.
I'm blown away by how much the professional sector in South Africa has to do in order to bring people up to speed with just being decent ethical people. It shows you what a disaster so many people are by the time they finish with school and university, if they haven't been shown the right way to behave, the right way to figure things out. And it's really a terrible and dire forecast for what South Africa might have looked like if people like SAICA, if the organization of the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants hadn't decided this was worth doing. And we can see this in our political class. There's just absolutely no idea. The word ethics is something which I doubt any of them ever have even looked up. So it's really encouraging because, as we both know, and as many other people who will be listening to this know, we are a country and a world that's beset by a lot of people who are patently dishonest and greedy. And really, in accounting, we cannot afford to have that, right?
Absolutely. You're 100% right. And one of the things we're doing when we talk about ethics is we're also starting to talk to universities about making sure the ethical decision-making processes are actually to be covered by all students. This shouldn't be just covered by accountants. The things we're talking about is, you know, dealing with an ethical dilemma should be what is developed in all students. This shouldn't just be specific to accounting students. Of course, we have and hold ourselves to a higher standard, which is why we have a code of professional conduct. that everybody should have some basic understanding of dealing with ethical dilemmas.
All right, so let's turn our attention to the nitty-gritty around this, because we can talk about ethics in a very general sense, but one of the key things that you've spoken about here is how Psyche's CA 2025 project is working to develop this during an aspiring CA's qualification journey. So at what point does that kick in? Is it a consistent part of everything that goes on in their training? How exactly do you guys monitor that?
So there are three key components to qualifying as a chartered accountant. There's what we call the academic program, and so that's the degree and the postgraduate degree. So there's a university and, if you want, theoretical side to it. The second component would be the practical experience, and that is done then through a requirement that every prospective chartered accountant has been through under supervision this practical experience period. We call that the training contract. And then the third element is we have professional assessments. So, you know, the component of developing and assessing is covered at all three of those stages across the qualification process. In the academic program, as I mentioned earlier, the focus to date has been on the technical knowledge rather than developing the cognitive and behavioral skills. So that is our shift in terms of going forward. In an academic program, we would expect there to be what we call a standalone ethics course where you learn some of the basic theories. But in order to make it real to the student, it has to be integrated into what we call our core disciplines. So at the moment, that's accounting, tax, auditing, and financial management. So the objective going forward would be to make sure students don't only know and are able to recite the code of professional conduct, but when they're behaving, they're able to behave more ethically. Now, that is, if you want, solidified or further embedded through the practical experience component. So then that is taken in on the job. How do you, because you can imagine learning something in a theoretical environment, works, does become, difficult to understand. So those two components to work together. We do also require during the training program that there is, again, a separate ethics training course done. And again, it's to remind people of what they did in the academic program and how they then should be applying this in the workplace. And then, of course, through our professional assessments, and again, it's difficult to assess. Our professional assessments are written. So, you know, when you ask someone on a piece of paper what the right thing to do is, they're invariably going to give you the right answer. So, you know, we do assess ethics. We do most often get the right answers, but that doesn't necessarily mean people are going to behave ethically. And that's where we shift to through both the changes to academic program and training program. One of the big things we're going to focus on going forward is working with the people who develop the competencies. So, in fact, this interview is timeless. We ran a fantastic workshop with academics last week, a two-day workshop. Mm-hmm. We were actually making sure everyone had a common understanding and vocabulary, I think is the right word we use, around ethics, so that when they are teaching it in their programs across courses, you know, the same message is coming out, and that there's a focus not only on knowledge but on developing the behavioral side of ethics as well.
That sounds terrific. So while we're talking about ethics, for many people, this is it's a difficult concept to completely understand, because it involves elements of psychology, elements of behavior, it involves elements of being true to your word. It also involves a lot of technical knowledge, because in accounting, you know, if you're cooking the books, so to speak, then it requires a little bit of malice aforethought there and your ability to manipulate things. But why do you think, in your own words, and for people who have no idea, if we started right at the very beginning and we said, why is it important to develop ethics as a key competency before an accountant qualifies? What would you say to a person who asked that if they had no understanding of why it mattered?
I'm going to answer indirectly. And, you know, again, this is something we specifically covered in our ethics workshop. And the question is, why do good people do bad things? And that is why you need to teach ethics, and I'm using the word ethics. You're not teaching them ethics. you're facilitating a process of thinking at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. The stats show that in any sort of organization, 10% of the people are absolutely good. So good people who do good things. 10% of the people are bad people who do bad things. And then 80% of people are good people who do either good or bad things. Mm-hmm. And what one wants to do through the development, you know, or facilitation of ethics programs is to make sure that good people that are sitting in that 80% make good decisions rather than bad decisions. And that is really important, I think, for the sustainability of our country. I don't think we should sit with wool over our eyes and think that we are unique in South Africa, although I do think our problems are exacerbated in terms of fraud and corruption and so on. But what we really want to do is make sure people think before they behave. And when thinking, they go through a process that takes them to making the right decision rather than making the wrong decision.
I actually think that's the best answer I've heard from that respect. And I thank you for your time. I think you guys are doing terrific work there, and your own CV is really impressive. I hope that you churn out a bunch of really reliable, ethical accountants for the future. We're going to need them in South Africa if we're going to get the country and the economy working properly. And thank you very much for being part of this show.
Thanks, Gareth. Of course, we mustn't just focus on those who are in the pipeline. We also have a lot of work that's taking place on engaging with our members so that they also adopt this approach. And I'm sure that will be the focus of another show.
I think that's terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gareth.
Excellent stuff. Thank you, Mandy Urdefee from SAICA. And really interesting insights there into why ethics has become such an important part of what accountants need to do in practice and in theory. Be Accountable, a progressive pathway to accounting excellence, brought to you by SAICA, the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants.
CliffCentral.com